Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, can I tell you something that confuses me in a way that, you know, like when you're in a train and the train next to you starts moving and you're like, whoa.
Yes.
Okay, it is hearing the NBC Nightly News election theme song on an off-year election.
Erin, they need new music. I could not agree with you more. Everybody does.
Everybody needs new music. I hear it and I'm like, wait, is it November? Do I need to get my Christmases ready? Like, what's going on?
And no, then it takes me a couple seconds. Everybody needs new music.
We need off-year election music and then, like, presidential year election music.
Yes, which should be very sweeping and interesting and important. And other than that, it should just be like low-key melody. That's it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's stressful regardless. And I hear bum, 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 bum. And I'm like, no, mm-mm-mm-mm. No. I can't.
I'm like, oh my God, is Barack Obama president again?
This week, we're joined by Tien Tran and Dana Schwartz to take on the following questions. Why do we think Wisconsin might be the next Michigan? Has the media learned no Trump-related lessons since 2016? Is hosting a party the worst or the best? And why do we think Angel Reese had every right to be as cocky as she wants to be? All this and more right now. Alyssa, how's your petty brew supply?
Erin, my petty brew supply is running low
because
I am using it nonstop and gifting it. I'm like, here, try a single serve bag. You'll love it.
It's so good. And my supply, unfortunately, is also dwindling. When I got a box in the mail of all of this petty brew, it's like, yay, it's here. I was like, this is going to last me for a while. No, it is not going to last me for a while because it is so good. One thing I love about petty brew is it appeals, I think, to every coffee drinker.
Agree.
It's not one of those like challenging coffees.
It's smooth.
It's interesting. It tastes great. If you haven't ordered yours yet, what are you doing? You need to get over to crooked.com/coffee and get some of our petty brew in the mail. And also, like, Alyssa, this week's news. So
who
much of
does
it?
Not need multiple cups of petty brew a day to keep up with it and savor some of the news in the same way you want to savor your coffee?
Indeed. Okay, Alyssa, the news this week was like good.
Acceptable?
Pretty good. I mean, there were obviously bad things that were happening in Tennessee with the lawmakers being expelled from the state legislative house. That's bad. But we're focusing on stuff that is good. And bodes well long term. Well, of course, we're going to talk about the Florida guy, the guy who the golfing man,
him, the orange guy,
Yeah, I mean, he's depends on the light, you know.
We'll call him man who throws hamburger against a wall and leaves bloody ketchup stain.
The Hamburglar. So we'll talk about him and his arraignment. But I think you and I are in agreement here that all of the important shit goes down at the state and local level.
Yep.
Like, all of the important shit goes down at the state and local level. And Donald Trump being indicted kind of sucked a lot of the oxygen out of the room this week. And I think there's a lot more to talk about. Let's get started with Wisconsin.
The Badger State? America's Dairyland?
Holy shit. Wisconsin did it. Wisconsin voters did it. They elected Judge Janet Protasiewicz to state Supreme Court on Tuesday in what actually turned out to be a fairly comfortable margin of victory.
Yes. So exciting.
Did you listen to Dan Kelly's concession speech?
No, I did not.
It was so sour grapes. It was just bitter, bitter, bitter. He was saying that this isn't going to bode well. This is a guy that was flying around on an abortion, like an anti-abortion group's private plane in the week before the election. What do you make of Protasiewicz's like resounding win? What do you think? What does this mean to Wisconsinites?
Erin, Wisconsinites and America, honestly. I mean, Wisconsin has been mired down for like the last 15 or so years with just GOP pandemonium, gerrymandering hanging in the balance, abortion rights hanging in the balance. This is such good and exciting news. And Erin, I was so nervous. You were a little bit more rosy about this. I was so nervous. Like, the Trump-Biden margin was so razor thin back in 2020. There was no reason to believe that she would kill. She killed yesterday.
She killed. And, you know, Martha McSally was the original person to get two L's after being appointed by a Republican governor, right?
Yes.
Dan Kelly got his second L last night, too, at the hands of a woman. I want to also bring up the fact that, you know, to paraphrase a Rebecca Traister headline from New York Magazine.
I was just going to Traister it.
Yes. Abortion wins elections.
It does.
Abortion wins elections, and we need to stop treating it like a fringe issue or a side issue, and it
wins. People need to stop ignoring us. We have been saying this. Traister's on the cover of a magazine saying it. Kansas told us this back in August, that it was not just something that wins election, it was motivating people out to the polls. And Erin, mm-hmm. I feel like it is the essence of fuck around and find out. Like, mm-hmm. people have thought for a long time, oh, the people who say that this Roe stuff, this is going to be catastrophic, they're just being hysterical. Well, nope, it all started to happen, and now people see that, and they're like, everyone's gone too, this has gone too far, and now they're coming out to vote. And this was so, it was such excellent news to get mm-hmm. yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And now we're at a point when every election is a referendum on abortion, every
yep.
single one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there are expressly abortion-related referendums that have come up for voters to decide in various states. I think there's still no anti-abortion referendums have won. It's all been pro-abortion access that has won. You can't say that a state Supreme Court race is necessarily on paper a referendum on abortion, but in practice it is. Judge Protasiewicz was really open about the fact that her personal beliefs are that women should have the freedom to choose what to do with their bodies without government interference. And Dan Kelly pretended that he didn't believe what he actually believes.
Right.
And voters, like, you know, they can smell the bullshit. It's, you know, it's an agricultural state. They know what bullshit smells like.
But this is, like, you and I have been saying local, local, local for years now. And I mean, Erin, even in a local election, this Supreme Court race cost $49 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. And it is kind of a little example of Republicans in Wisconsin being hoisted by their own petard in
yes.
a way, because they were the ones that made it so that state parties could contribute unlimited amounts to campaigns
yep.
within the state, which means that people could donate like $1 million to the state Democratic Party in Wisconsin. Some person from, you know, American Samoa or California or Washington or whatever can just be like, here's $1 million. And then the state party could just be like, here you go, Janet. Here you
right.
have $1 million.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah. And that was a Republican. That was a Republican joint. So great job, guys. These things do tend to backfire. I also want to give a shout out to our pal Samuel Alito, who said around the time of the Dobbs, I don't know if it was in the Dobbs decision or not, but that women, if they want abortion rights, they can simply vote for them. And they are.
They are. Thanks, Sam.
They are. Thank you, Sam, for that little tip. We're going to stick to it. We're going to keep doing it. Really exciting stuff. Also, Chicago. Shout out to Chicago.
Yes. Shout out to Chicago. Brandon Johnson, you know, and I will say this, his acceptance speech last night was so gracious. He is reaching across the aisle. There was such bad faith campaigning against him, saying that he was defund the police, when really Chicago has more police per capita, Erin, than LA or New York City. And it's not getting the job done. And so his whole campaign platform was, let's just get the money in the hands of the people who can actually help, like mental health professionals. So, but he reached out to the police last night in his speech. And I really, it's a big job. It's a hard job. And I mean, God bless. We wish him the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being mayor of Chicago is sort of like being manager of the Cubs, except people get way madder at you and there's like way more stakes. But an equal number of people are drunk at all times when they watch it. So let's see. Oh, I want to make one more note about Wisconsin. This is how worried Republicans should be about the fuck around find out season. This is hyper granular and hyper local, but there is a special election last night in Wisconsin for a legislative seat that was in a county that is extremely lopsidedly red normally. The Republican candidate won by a minuscule margin, like a minuscule margin. So, you know, it's a shame that the Democratic candidate couldn't pull it out, but nobody thought that Democratic candidate would win.
We'll take a slim margin.
Yeah. Republicans should be scared. They should be very scared because the energy is on our side, and we're going to keep the energy up until we get through next year's presidential election, and then I'm going to die. Okay, let's talk a little bit. I guess we can talk about Donald Trump.
Oh.
What'd you make of all the stuff?
Erin, I have to be honest. I was pretty bored by it.
Interesting.
I mean,
because all of the pomposity of cable news punditry.
Here's my problem, Erin. The surprise in all of this was kind of when they said they were going to bring down an indictment a month earlier. They said originally that the grand jury was going to take the whole month off, and they didn't. That was like, oh, I wonder what's happening. And I think because of that, I thought to myself, it must be big. They must have something big. And my husband the whole time, he's like, I don't know. I don't know. And I was like, no, trust me. They must have something big. Mm-hmm. And Erin, when you read the written instructions, it didn't sound super big. Now, look, is it a huge and historic deal that a president of the United States has been indicted? Abso-fucking-lutely. And should someone who has committed crimes pay for those crimes? Absolutely. But the virtual cable terrorism that we had to endure yesterday of watching, okay, first, the man's not O.J. Simpson. Let's stop with the helicopters overhead, like following him from airport to Trump Tower down to the courthouse. But also, I can't, and in order to watch it, you know, maybe years ago you could have gotten most of your news from Twitter and it wouldn't have been as annoying, but like we can't do that anymore, really. So I did have on cable news, and I can't with the, I don't know, it's like these old Trump people, they think they've been deloused or something. They're like, see, we're clean, all right? For 3 months, we said he was a bad guy and that he was going to get in trouble and that he would deserve it. But now he's not in trouble, and he's actually got a little bit of momentum prior to the terrible speech he gave. But he's got a little bit of momentum, so we're going to calibrate what we say tonight between 6 and 8 p.m. when everybody's watching. And it is repulsive that these people, fine with the Muslim ban, fine with every terrible thing he did. Then he leaves and they're like, I don't know, maybe he was morally bankrupt. And so I found it all just, it was all just a hair too far on all sides yesterday.
Just the punditry cringe was very strong, where it just felt like I was watching a bunch of people audition to be included in clips of historical events.
Of roundups.
God, guys, come on. Other things are happening, and I get that this gets eyeballs. I get that people cannot stop either hate watching or love watching Donald Trump. I get that, but it's also like it's overkill, and I feel like this is the mistake that the media made in the run-up to 2016, and we've learned zero lessons. Zero lessons. Drop everything for every time Donald Trump takes a giant crap in a gold toilet and has to flush it 10 or 11 times. Like, we don't need to – I mean, that's a – remember when he said that?
Yes.
That toilets were weak and you have to flush them 10 or 11
multiple times?
That's what happens when all you eat is well-done steak. You just – anyway.
You think it would have the reverse effect, but we can get into that another time.
Yeah, I don't think he eats any leaves or vegetables.
No.
So, but the thing is, like, the wall-to-wall coverage of something that is historically significant, but on a practical level has very little effect and impact on people's day-to-day lives. You know, the mayoral race in Chicago, yes, it's a local concern, but it has a direct impact on the lives of everyone in the Chicago metro area, everybody who goes through Chicago. You know, it's a really important thing. The Wisconsin State Supreme Court race, boring, right? Not boring. Really important.
Boring.
Impacts a ton of people's lives. Donald Trump perp walking to the Manhattan district attorney, you know, to the courthouse or whatever, is, you know, important, but not the only story. And that is kind of that's kind of what bugged me.
Well, and it's like the other thing I can't stand. It's like, look, if you want to get like a forensic profiler or someone on television or a body language expert who can be like, here's what I read from his body language. That's fine. If you're a political reporter, I'm not interested in you saying that Donald Trump looks sad. Like, stick to what it means. But I don't need all of the flowery nonsense, especially when like tornadoes are ripping through the Midwest, some of the worst that we've ever seen. Like you said, there's so many like really catastrophically
Ron DeSantis
bad things.
Ron DeSantis quietly signing a law that allows people to carry concealed weapons throughout the state of Florida with no permit whatsoever. All right, is it open carry? You can just wear your – actually, you know what? I think open carry to me feels more honest because if I see someone with a gun out, I'm like, not going to go over there. But concealed carry is a little bit more. But anyway, regardless, there are a lot more impactful things in the lives on a practical level of way more people than Donald Trump being arrested.
Especially because he can still run for president and this is probably helping him.
Yeah, like, it absolutely
is. His numbers
is.
Have gone up. His numbers have gone up. He can't get a platform because he's been deplatformed everywhere. But now, I mean, Aaron, I was shooketh, as Caroline would say, when I watched him on like CNN, like they were carrying his speech last night. And I was like, oh my God, he's fucking back. And I don't know about you, but I have certainly not missed him at all.
Yeah, I don't miss him either. And I don't want us to just like fall for this over us. I say like the national media and the national conversation. It shouldn't just be about him. Like he doesn't have any plans and he's an inept leader and he's a crooked businessman. And that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know about him.
And like, has been.
And has always been. That's his entire career. I can't believe the guy didn't have a criminal record until he's never like been charged with any. It's like so crazy.
No. Well, New York's a different place now.
Yeah, it sure is. Giuliani cleaned that place up. all right. Let's see. What else do we have to talk about? So Adam Schiff is running for Senate in California, right?
Yes.
And a stacked field, to be honest. Barbara Lee, Katie Porter, Adam Schiff, all three very qualified politicians. I think listeners to this show know that we're more on Team Lee and Porter than Schiff, but let's see what he's got.
But he's great too.
Yeah,
it's just
great
personal
too.
Preference at this point.
Personal
it's an embarrassment of riches.
Exactly. We've got a stacked bench here in California, and for that, I am grateful. But there is going to be a little bit of a dogfight to take over Schiff's congressional seat, and one of the people entering it is Ben Savage, apparently, from Boy Meets World, which is, what do you think?
Aaron, why? And again, Caroline, we know that you're for this. but this feels like a why. And when asked why he's running, the answers really go to why. He's like, because I've been a union employee. I have worked with people. Like, it's like there's really not a lot. I mean, I would be more compelled if he were like, my brother was in a movie with Candace Cameron and killed her in the 90s. I mean, that's almost more compelling to me at this point than what was the name of that movie?
Oh, you're not talking about literally killing. I was like, she's alive.
Oh, no. It was a great movie. It was a great movie. I literally almost missed a final at the University of Vermont because I was white. I was watching it. But
oh, my
like,
gosh.
This is not. He compared himself to Arnold Schwarzenegger when he's like celebrities run for office. And look, he's running as a Democrat. Great. You know, OK. But I just I'm not into this one. I feel like we need some policy expertise. The world's in crisis. The country's in crisis. I think I just feel like I want someone a little bit more serious.
Yeah. I'm going to see what he's got. You know, there's been some crossover from acting to successful, you know, Al Franken was a great senator, I would say.
Yeah.
He started out being in entertainment.
Different.
I think, yeah, he's built a little bit different. Here's the thing. I think that there's a point in fame where whatever side of the fence you're on, like if you're politically famous, you want to be like movie star famous. And if you're movie star famous, you want to feel important like a politician. And eventually they just kind of like, they're so into one type of fame that they're like, I think the other one would be great.
Let's just dip our toe in the water. Let's see what that one feels like.
It's like, no, I just don't.
The movie was No One Would Tell, by the way.
Oh, okay, good, good. We'll link to that IMDb page in our show notes for sure. I think that's all we have for news. I mean, things keep happening. There's obviously more news, but that's all we really have time to get deep into. I did want to, like, give a little shout out. Jacinda Ardern and Sana Marin both ended their tenures at the heads of their respective
baddest
countries.
Bitches. They did. They were so honest about it. They're like,
well,
Sana
lost. She lost to a conservative. Her party lost in Finnish elections. But Jacinda was like, I can't do
this. I'm tired. I've done enough. There was another, I can't remember it now. There was another female leader who also was like, I've done my part and I'm out. And it's like, you know what? In a country where we have people on their 500th term in Congress, it's refreshing to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I'm a little bit bummed for Finland because Marin was so cool. She's so cool. She was so cool and seemed so fun. And Finland joined NATO and she doesn't get to, like, you know,
party.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope that she is at a nightclub. You know, the best nightclub in the world. Yeah, having the best
posting
time.
It all on social media as she deserves to do.
Post it all, please. Okay, cool. Do you have any toasts or roasts this week?
No, we're like pro Wisconsin. Cheers to Wisconsin.
Cheers to the Badger State. Really proud of you and the work that everybody there did and the work that you all continue to do, because I feel like we were within years, a couple years of Michigan-ing Wisconsin.
Yeah, totally agree.
We're close.
And you know what? If there are two people who are going to try to help, it's us.
Yeah. We love Wisconsin. Both
love Wisconsin.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more of our pals joining us, and we are going to talk about the fraught world of hosting parties.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQBar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQBar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQBar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQBar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
In moments like these, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and even easier to feel powerless. But we are neither. I'm Stacey Abrams, and on my podcast, Assembly Required, I take on each executive action, legislative battle, and breaking news moment by asking 3 questions. What's really happening? What can we do about it? And how do we keep going together? This is a space for clarity, strategy, and hope rooted in action, not denial. New episodes of Assembly Required drop Tuesdays. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.
Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
And welcome back. Alyssa is still here with me, and I'm going to bring in the other two panelists. We're physically in studio today, and it feels strange.
Like, it's great.
It's like seeing celebrities.
It.
I mean, it's like seeing.
I mean,
guys
one
really,
of us is a celebrity.
No.
One of us is on buses.
Yeah. No.
We have a rule at Hysteria that one person has to be on the side of a bus at all times.
Yeah, and bus face.
It rotates. Face. Yeah, you're the current bus face. And we'll see whose face is on a bus next. The voices you're hearing are our panelists. You can catch our first panelist in How I Met Your Father. The second half of season 2 is coming out on Hulu on May 23rd. Tian Tran.
Hello.
So good to see you.
It's so good to see you, too. It's like, it's weird to see, like, the human form of your face.
Screen people, but, real people.
But real.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Well, you all look wonderful on camera and also great in person.
It's like Zoom, but like James Cameron, Avatar,
yes.
3D Zoom.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we're talking
We're all in mocap right now.
We are. And we're talking in papyrus font. So as you're listening to this, please remember that the font is papyrus. Our final panelist hosts the history podcast, Noble Blood, diving into a different dramatic story about royalty every week. She also writes books that a lot of people read. Dana Schwartz, welcome to Hysteria.
Thank you for having me in person.
Yeah. Oh my God. So good to see you. Everything going good with you?
Yeah, really. I got back from book tour. I had a book come out in February, and that was very tiring. I told myself, like, oh, you just have to do like one event a day. I'm going to be so productive. I'm going to read so many books, like do so much work. I did absolutely nothing.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot of traveling, and then I came home and, like, napped for a week.
It's really – the times that I've, like, toured with PSA and Love It or Leave It, it has been the same deal.
Yeah.
I've been like, I'm just – I don't have to do anything. It's sound checks at 4 p.m. What am I going to do all day? And what I'm going to do all day is, like, lay on the hotel bed and be, like, gathering my strength to, like, go out in public. Alyssa, you had a big week this week, too. I want to hear all about what's going down in Alyssa land. Because you've got an announcement and a recommendation for something all of our listeners should watch.
I do, but mostly I'm trying to just deal with my FOMO. I'm going to need like loads of Xanax when everyone goes in studio. This is terrible.
For me.
It's great for you. It's terrible for me. My week, you guys, our documentary, Pretty Baby Brooke Shields, dropped on Hulu this week. Please, please watch it. It is disturbing but awesome. Brooke Shields is exactly the person that you hope she is, despite all of the things that, like, she endured growing up. The thing that's amazing about it is that I think so many of us, when you watch it, you'll be like, oh my God, I remember it. And then you'll be like, I don't remember it that way. It's like, oh, she dated Michael Jackson, but oh, not really. He made it up and tried to exploit her. And yeah, there are so many moments. It's funny because when we were filming, one of the things I said to Brooke Shields, I'm like, do you know what I remember about your Calvin Klein jeans? And she's like, what? I'm like, my ma told me I didn't have a butt for your Calvin Klein jeans. I was like, and I still don't. And so anyway, it is, it's on Hulu. It's streaming. Please check it out. It's 2 one-hour episodes. And I personally want to break Hulu. So please do it.
Wait, so it's been received pretty well.
We are a New York Times critics pick. We have celebrated. We were at Sundance back in January, which was, it was like, I mean, you know, Aaron knows me well enough to know festivals and weird things like that are not really my jam, but it was really wonderful, if nothing else, to see Brooke Shields get the standing ovation that she has so long deserved for everything that she's done. So, yeah, check it out. It's interesting to see sort of the young TikTokers take to it and be like, hey, this shit's fucked up. And it's like, yes, this has all been going on for a very long time.
Yeah. I feel like right now we're kind of in a news cycle where it's like, that was fucked up.
Yeah.
And it's stuff that we like all remember living through. And it's like, yeah, it was. It was even fucked up at the time. But yeah, Brooke Shields as a sort of avatar of the ways that American culture exploits and harms the feminine is like a super interesting way to kind of go into thinking about the ways in which the 80s and 90s and 2000s and current day.
Today.
Yeah.
There are specific headlines from tabloids that I read when I was a teenager that I still remember, like calling celebrities fat, that in my head I was like, oh, I better not look like that or else people will make fun of me in print.
Right.
Like to this day when I was like, you know, whatever. The culture is awful and continues to be awful.
Yeah. The fact that Brooke Shields came through all of that and is still like cool is like, oh my God, that would destroy most people. Like, and she survived. It's pretty impressive. And I'm going to be watching it this afternoon.
Yay, thank you.
I am so excited. I wish I could have come to the premiere.
I know.
Melissa invited me.
Of course.
And I wanted
obviously.
To. But I had
listen,
a conflict.
Enjoy it. Enjoy it in the privacy of your own home. As so many else
oh,
can
I can't
do.
Wait. So speaking of me enjoying things in the privacy of my own home, we're going to talk about something that gives me a ton of anxiety and a lot of people a ton of anxiety, hosting parties. It also gives people a lot of energy. I think that's like what it is to be an introvert versus like an extrovert. Dana, are you good at having people over?
So I married a hoster.
Mm-hmm.
My husband.
Yes, you sure did.
I
yeah.
did. My husband loves having people over. His love language is like, I'm going to grill a bunch of food and like have way too much food and make a cheese plate and have a bunch of people over. And I'm like an indoor cat. I like don't like leaving my house. So on one hand, I'm like, oh, I like having people over because I don't have to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I have learned to enjoy hosting. But I get burned out and I'm definitely not as energized by it as my husband is.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Tian?
I love hosting.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I used to throw a very big birthday party for myself and had like tons of people over in our backyard and would grill like ribs, chicken wings, kebabs, burgers, just like go crazy. Now in this time, I feel like I'm starting to, my partner and I are like starting to have people over again. Like, it's my favorite. I love inviting people over, especially for like maybe non-events, like not a birthday or a holiday, but more like come over and watch this like women's basketball game and we'll have a ton of wings and a ton of vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a great menu, but.
Wings and vegetables.
Crudité.
Sounds great. I would eat that. I love
no,
it.
It was great. It was a great spread.
Good. So Alyssa, how about you? Are you a hoster?
Am I good at hosting? Yes. Do I enjoy it? No, not remotely. I hate it. If asked, I will do it. But like, I'm too intense. You know what I mean? It's like I make things mm-hmm. so much harder for myself than they have to be. It's like, no, you don't need 3 different kinds of flowers. No, you don't need 7 different kinds of cheese and appetizers. It's like you can just do it simply, but I'm not good at that. And so I keep my entertaining to a minimum.
So your gift is your curse.
Yes, like that's exactly
Spider-Man.
Right.
Is it Spider-Man who's gift?
Whoever.
Yes, yes.
Most of them, actually.
Most of them, I think.
Yeah, they all have cursed gifts.
Ooh, that sounds like a really good like YA book series.
Cursed gifts.
I would note that if I saw it in the store. I'd be like, that's a book I'm not going to read. You know, it's funny because like I'm not – my husband – I married a hoster as well, like you, Dana. And my husband loves having people over and like he'll go to the store and make it like a half day excursion where he's like, we need this and this and this. He loves cooking like Korean food for people.
Ooh.
And so there's like a great in K-Town in LA. There's like so many great Korean grocery stores mm-hmm. and you can just basically get like all the banchan and get like the pre-marinated meats and he'll make like sauces and it's really fun. But like it also is like at the end of it, I can just picture the kitchen being a disaster zone at the end. Like, everybody's gone, and it's just you and your dishes. And that is the part of hosting that, like, really bumps me up.
Can I tell you my little post-hosting secret for cleanup?
What? Throw the dishes away.
No. God, no. So we do, like, dinner parties a lot because Ian loves to cook. And then I make a playlist of musical theater songs that I like to sing.
Uh-huh.
And it's about 10 songs. And we just – this is true – you play the musical theater playlist, you sing out loud while you're cleaning, and by the time you're done with the playlist, the kitchen is clean. It works every
time.
See,
what is track one?
See, that sounds like
One Day More, I think.
Okay.
Because Ian and I can both do the parts. He's not a musical theater person, but he's learned these songs because they're on the playlist.
I feel that would make me feel like punishment. If I was like, one day more.
You're already enjoying yourself, though.
You're right.
She's, got a big smile on her face. Everything's going
you
great.
You can't not have fun.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Alyssa, I don't know. Do you feel the same way about the post-party cleanup?
No,
does it bum you
no,
out?
No, so here's actually the thing. When I'm going to, well, yes, it bums me out when it's at my house. But when I'm going to a party, you know how everyone's always like, can I bring something? Look, everyone's getting all the wine and flowers that they need. I'm like, listen, I'll be on cleanup committee. And so then when everyone starts to go, I'm like, let's go. And to me, that is like the nicest contribution because, you're done so much faster. So that is my – so knowing how much I hate it, that is what I like to offer to people when I go to their house instead.
Oh, that's nice. That's a good way to go about it. What's the last, like, great party that you hosted, Tien? Like, besides the women's basketball?
Yes. I had just had people over to watch March Madness, the final game this past Sunday. And it was – I thought it was a great party. Small numbers, small, manageable numbers. Mm-hmm. Six people only. You know, I think, like, anything below 10 feels good right now. And we had wings. We had – someone brought – a cheese dip that was absolutely delicious that I'd never had before, with like preserved lemons and pickled onions on it.
Oh, like a fancy.
Yeah, yeah, like a fancy cheese dip.
Okay, like an Amy Sedaris recipe.
Yes, a very fancy cheese dip, and the game was great, and it was nice, and everyone left, and it felt, you know, like it was just like a perfect, and everyone left right after the game. Nobody lingered.
I love a party with an activity.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all here to watch the game.
We're watching.
There's
the
a
thing.
Secondary thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, the game ends and no one's hanging out afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, was there another really great host at your party? And as she left the room, were you, like, pointing at your ring finger? Like, guess what? Guess what?
Hell yeah. Best party ever.
Angel Reese.
I love her.
Dana, how about you? What's, like, the last great party that you hosted?
I guess it was for me, but my 30th birthday we did in my backyard.
Okay.
And that was really nice. It was... I do this, like, history podcast, so my best friend and my husband sort of did a, like, Marie Antoinette-themed, like, a big elaborate dessert table with, like, all my favorite L.A. desserts.
Oh, wow.
And a big charcuterie table.
Wait, that's so sweet.
It was really sweet, and it was, like, a little chilly, so they, like, got heat lamps, too. They, like, really went out to make
that's
it a nice
really
party.
Great.
But I mean, knock wood, it is about to be Passover, and so I'm going to be hosting my first ever Seder tomorrow.
Huge.
I'm picking up a brisket after this. I've never made a brisket before.
Okay.
We'll see.
You're going to be great.
You're going to do great. I feel like a brisket is one of those things that if you just follow the directions.
Yes.
My mom said you can't ruin
you
a brisket.
You cannot ruin a brisket.
Yeah. She meant
famous,
that. Yeah.
Oh, man. Famous last words.
Speaking of ruining things, Alyssa, you said you're really good at throwing parties.
Yes.
Like, it is your gift and your curse. Have you ever had one just go bust?
No.
And do you remember, like, what happened?
No.
Not
she said she's good
one.
At it.
Yeah. No, they don't go
well, I know,
bust.
But, like, sometimes, huh. Interesting.
But let's be clear. The parties I have thrown in the past 5 years were all for my niece's birthday. So,
okay,
me,
sure.
First year was pineapple themed. Every year since it's been Peppa Pig, I'm, like, on the Peppa Pig theme, so it's fine. But my neighbors and my friends up here always, they love parties. And so I help co-host. And it's like, there are too many type A people for things to, like, go wrong. Everything's planned way in advance. Even our holiday cookie party was, like, very laid out. And afterwards, we have, like, an after action. We're like, okay, next year for cookie party, we're going to pre-bake the cookies. We're going to pre-bake the cookies. And we're going to pre-mix the frosting. And that way people can have more champagne and decorate more cookies. So, but no, I don't actually recall one ever going tits up on me.
Okay, well, that's good. It causes me so much anxiety to plan a party because it just feels like too much pressure. I just, like, get immediately nervous that, like, people won't come. We had to plan a first birthday party for my daughter. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, we did it in tandem with another family with a daughter around the same age as ours. And it was, like, I mean, my husband did a ton of work and so did the other family, but I still was, like, so stressed out. I was so stressed out by it. And, like, we had it in, like, a park. It was low key. And I just was like, like, the whole day I was, like, completely on edge. And I feel like maybe I should be medicated for whatever is causing me that stress. But it was so stressful. And, like, I'm always, like, noticing things that are, like, not perfect. And I'm like, people are having a bad time because this thing isn't perfect. Like, oh, I didn't get enough cheese. Like, or they didn't eat any of this one dessert that I put out. Or, like, oh, I screwed up. Like, it's like this weird, like, I don't really like doing it.
Because you feel, when you're hosting the party, you feel responsible for everyone having a good time, which is an impossible situation.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Yeah. No, it's a totally, unless you're literally, like, lacing people's beverages with some sort of, like, delightful hallucinogen. You can't really, like, control whether people have a good time or a bad, I mean, you can make them have a bad time, but it's, like, kind of hard to control. I mean, sometimes they're just variables, you know, and it's kind of hard to control. Have you ever been to a party that you were like, this is very bad?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what happened?
I I was actually talking to my wife about this last night when we were talking about parties. And, like, I've been to many an academic dinner. She used to be in academia.
Those are the worst.
No. They are. But I'm telling you, I've been to many an academic dinner that is, like, great and fun and everyone is lovely. We went to one dinner with, like, some that was hosted by one of her, like, senior faculty members. This woman was maybe the most unpleasant woman I've ever interacted with. And I had, like, just started doing comedy more seriously. So already when my wife introduced me and, like, I said what I did, she was kind of like, that's cute.
Oh.
You know, like a professor telling, like, I was just the clown at the party.
Oh, no.
And so we're like, that's how it was started. It was like a dinner party with, like, several couples. We walk over to the table, and I'm sorry, but I think this should be illegal, but you should not be able to assign people seats for a dinner party if you don't know them. I think you should just let people sit where they want to sit. So I was sat away from my partner at the other end of the table, which was already bizarre. And she got drunk off of, like, two bottles of wine, and in the middle of the party, started shouting, "What is white privilege?" Banging the table. "What is white privilege?"
And this is the host of the
this
party?
This is the host of the party.
Oh, no.
And everyone was just like, who's going to tell her?
Oh, my God.
And then the party, I think I was in shock. I don't remember how I think it was left unanswered because we were all like, how are you? This is white privilege. Then at the end, as we were saying goodbye, she grabbed my partner's wrist and my wrist, not hand, both of our wrists at the same time, and said, "I wish you well."
Like Gwyneth Paltrow?
Like Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah. Like a hex. Like, she put a little hex on us.
And that was the last time you hung out with Barry Weiss.
We didn't sleep for, like, we stayed up all night just, like, talking about how insane that dinner party was.
Oh, my God. Alyssa, I feel like you've spent time in D.C., a place that you don't necessarily gel with.
No.
Around a culture of people having parties left and right as a sort of way to swing their social dicks around. Can you describe any, like, memorably bad parties in D.C.?
Oh, God, all of them. All of them, you guys. They were all terrible. There's a reason I'll never go back. Do you know what my favorite thing is? When you're hosting, not me, but when you attend a party that someone's clearly hosted and invited you to, and they're like, "I'm sorry, what's your name?" It's like, I have met you. And also, how on earth am I going to relax for the next 2 hours of this jail sentence? Now that you've been like, hi. Like, I also am a big fan of, like, whenever I'm hosting, like, I actually prefer, like, when I worked at Lifetime, we would host these, like, women's dinner, like, these dinners, you know, when shows were coming out.
That's how we met. Yes. That's how Alyssa and I met person for the first
time. Yes, and we would, like, have these, and they were fun, and the people who come up and are like, "I'm sorry, how do I know you? Have we met?" Guess what? When we would do those dinners, a lot of times, we would make sure to tell people who was coming. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. like, everyone can, you know what? That name is familiar. Let me look them up, you know, because I'm sure I've met them before. But no, in general, D.C. dinner parties were an absolute rotating nightmare for me because I tried to keep myself kind of under the radar the whole time I was in D.C. because, I mean, the whole point of being a public servant is not being famous. But if you weren't on the Sunday shows, people would be like, "I'm sorry, what do you do again?" When I left D.C., and my husband was very resistant to move. But when he saw it, it was like the minute that I left the White House, people would be like, "When's the last time you were back? When's the last time you talked to POTUS?" And I was like, "I can't live here anymore. I want to be anonymous someplace. I don't want anyone to know what I've ever done in my life." And that was it. But most of the D.C. bad dinner parties were just super pretentious and not about people having a good time, but about, like, I don't know, like, talking about how important you are to something. And, like, that's not my vibe ever. So I'm just like, you guys enjoy yourselves. I'm going to have 2 glasses of wine. And there wasn't even really Uber back then. So I would just walk out to a corner and try to get a cab home. It's the most undignified thing in the world.
Ugh, yeah. DC, not a place with famously friendly cab waiting weather. No. It's like balls cold or swamp hot.
Or swamp ass.
Yeah. You talking about the bad DC parties, Alyssa, reminded me of, I did go to one memorably bad party. And I'm not just talking about a bad party where I'm like, ooh, there are people doing drugs that are way too advanced for me here. And I gotta get out of here. Like, because I've been to a handful of those and they were like, you know, like a harrowing party.
Yes, yes.
Where you're just like, whoa, like this isn't just people doing like bumps in the bathroom. Yeah. This is like, no, uh-uh. I'm getting out of here.
I don't
here.
Even know what that is.
Oh. I have never been. I sing musical theater while I do the dishes. I've never been to a harrowing party.
Oh, I mean, I worked at Gawker Media during the height of its powers.
Oh, you know, it's a
powers.
Good point.
And
good
so,
point.
Yeah. So there was at one guy who I think has since become sober who would show up to parties. He was like an emeritus employee, but everybody knew him. And he would show up to parties and he was just like the drugs fairy. He was just like, here I am with the drugs. Oh, and like, no. It would just be bags of different drugs. And people would just be like, okay, hand me some drugs. And they would just do whatever. It was like insane, like absolutely bonkers. Like right now in the era of fentanyl, like stupid, stupid, stupid behavior, even without the possibility of just dropping dead. Anyway, it was a wacky time. But I went to a party that was truly bad, and it was bad in the like DC power broker women's dinner. Who's here? Who are you? Like that kind of a thing. And I'm gonna name drop because I don't like this person.
I can't wait.
You're I'm ready.
Campbell Brown.
So mean.
Campbell Brown. Hater. Campbell Brown was a honcho at Facebook for a while and was sort of like trying to amass like Sheryl Sandberg-y lean in type feminism, right?
Okay.
And she and somebody else, she and Sheryl threw a party together for like, and it was scheduled for like, they invited a bunch of like female
it was
New
for
York
Sheryl's
media luminaries.
Book. It was for Sheryl's book.
It was for Sheryl's book and it came out. It was like not Lena.
No, it was the other one.
It was the other one. Were you there?
No, but I remember you telling me this story.
Oh, my God. Okay.
The other. I like that. That's the name of her book. Yeah,
the other one.
Lean Cheryl. In.
Lean in again.
Lean in further.
Yeah. Fall over.
Fall
right down. But it was, and that actually would have been an appropriate title of the book because it was like, The party was scheduled, and we all RSVP'd, like, in the weeks running up to the 2016 election. So it was like, come to this like, luncheon, book luncheon and meet and greet. And it was like, all of these people who are still working in media who are like, you know, I think Rebecca Traister was there. Yeah. Like, we just talked about her abortion wins election story earlier in news. So she was – it was like that type of person.
Sure.
I think Tracy Egan Morrissey was there. There was just, like, you know, that – crew,
yes.
Right? Dana, you know.
I know that crew.
Yeah.
They sound scary.
They're mixed bag.
Okay.
Rebecca is very nice.
Okay.
Anyway, so we went to this, you know, this luncheon and there were like, you know, hors d'oeuvres and like power suits. But the luncheon was like right after the election. Right after.
Oh my.
And so everyone there was just like,
who didn't lean in hard enough?
Yeah, yeah, right. It was like nobody was happy. It had the feeling of like awake, kind
yes.
of. But it clearly had been planned with the intention, like, now we've got a woman president and like,
oh,
we're gonna do
God.
This. And it was clear that I think that like Sheryl Sandberg and maybe Campbell Brown were both hoping to have some sort of a role in like a future, like, you know, the inner circles of, you know, Clintonia or whatever. And it was just, like, weird. It was weird. Also, the apartment was Campbell's apartment, and it was one of those things where you went and all the furniture was white, all the carpets were white,
oh.
And she had two kids, which means she's got, like, a very probably over, you know, people whose job it is to keep everything white.
Yeah.
And it was like floor to ceiling Tribeca loft.
Ooh,
like,
I would have snooped around.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, she rents those kids.
Yeah. She does rent those kids.
It was like, and look, maybe she is a lovely person. Alyssa, it feels good that you're backing me up. But I just remember the whole thing felt very like power brokery, but then like their original plan had to get sidetracked because it wasn't like a celebration luncheon. It was sad. And then they did like a Q&A and everybody was mad. And we like left like wine drunk in the middle of the day, just like pissed.
And that this feels like an episode of The Morning Show. Like,
seriously.
Just, like, so messed up.
It seriously was very weird. And, like, the group that was there, like, you would see people and it was like, how are you doing? Like, how are you? How are you? Are you okay? Are you holding up? Are you okay? And it was just, like, just not. I mean, those things are at best, they're tolerable in happy circumstances. But in, like, sad circumstances, you're like, oh, this is fucking bullshit. Why am I here? Why am I doing this? I hate this. So, yeah, that was a bad party. Didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. Dana, have you been to, like, a bad party?
The thing is, I'm just, like, a bad sport where if I'm at a bad party, I'll leave.
Same.
I leave parties very early.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
You are the most Irish goodbye person, I think.
I have no tolerance. I mean, I know I'm a very introverted person, have like some social anxiety that I'm working on. Mm-hmm. But in general, I have no tolerance for a bad party. I like I will stay an hour if I don't want to be there and I will leave.
You've left
I want
good
that
parties.
I want
I've
that.
Left good parties because also then I'm like, well, this is, I've done it. I think people who are anxious will understand. At good parties, you're like, oh, I've nailed it. And mm-hmm. you want to leave before you mess up and people don't like you anymore. So I'm like, oh, great. Okay, batting 1,000, I'm out.
Oh, my God. Okay, that, I like,
wow.
I relate to that yeah. pretty hard, Dana, as somebody who is like a, man, I tell people I'm an introvert. They're like, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're good at talking. It's like, no,
doesn't
it
matter.
Drains my yeah. life
yeah,
force.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
And then I have to go home and like lie flat on my back and just like recharge without anybody bugging me. It's yeah.
Can I tell you my favorite Irish goodbye story though?
Yes.
Because it was at our own house. My husband Ian and I had
you
just
left your own house.
No, no, no. This oh, is the okay. one time.
I was
time
hoping that would be.
I stayed at a hotel.
I did. I had to go. We had just gotten engaged, and it was our engagement party, and we were doing it in our backyard. And
I was there.
It was a great party.
It was great.
I mean, it was a good party.
Yeah.
There was a bonfire going in our backyard, a responsible bonfire. And towards the end of the night, Ian got the drunkest I have ever seen him in my entire life. We have this bonfire going. People are leaving. It was like the end of the night. It's like 2 a.m, whatever. Ian, possibly blackout drunk, starts putting more wood in the fire.
Incredible.
And I go, baby, I think there's enough wood in the fire. People are leaving. And he goes, I got it. And keeps putting wood in the fire, goes inside, and passes out.
Oh, wow.
And I like, you know, put out the fire and like after everyone leaves and I walk in, every light in our house is on. Ian is passed out on our bed with both cats just looking at him and looking at me. Like, what are we supposed to do? He just thought like, well, if I'm leaving, I better provide for the fire.
See, he's always hosting.
Yeah.
He's always hosting.
He hosted that fire. Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, so we're running out of time to have this conversation. It's so nice to be back in studio, even though Alyssa's on a square over there. It feels like you're here in spirit.
Thanks.
I can feel your spirit. I want to end this conversation by talking about what you show up to a party with. Like, what is your, like, what are your rules around, like, a host gift?
So Ian and I don't really drink. I don't drink kind of at all. And so we have a lot of wine at our house. And so every time we throw a party, we're like, oh, great, we'll go through some of this wine. Mm-hmm. But people bring wine and we end up with more wine. Every time it's a net gain of like plus 2 bottles of wine. I bake a lot and I will go to a party if it's like at someone's house or a dinner party. My move is to bring dessert and to bring it on a like cardboard thing, so there's no dishes necessary. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, I'm on dessert, and I'll bring it and hopefully make it easier for the host.
Mm-hmm. Alyssa, how about you? What do you bring?
Well, Dana, to piggyback on that, oftentimes I will bring thumbprints made with my own jam and then a jar of jam to go with it.
Oh.
An amazing host gift.
Or, but if not, just any sort of like go someplace really nice and get, you know, a cup, like a pound or two of cookies. And because then they can enjoy them later too. If they like, that's the thing. If you bring something and it's not like part of the meal or they already have dessert, then like, what do they do with it? So I feel like they can put it in a Tupperware and it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy it later and think about you and your delicious jam. Jen, how about you?
Damn, I'm the wine person. Sorry. I'm going to go to a nice wine store and just pick up some wine.
It's a classic for a reason.
I know, but I see now the error in my ways maybe a little
bit.
But
people aren't, I just don't
no,
drink
but I
wine,
get it too.
People do drink wine.
And I and Tiana,
I gotta get into preserves.
I love when people bring me wine, for what it's worth.
Okay, okay, I'll stick with the wine
because I don't need cookies.
You can make as many as you want. I could say, like, I appreciate any host gift, and I usually tend to just, like, bring a bottle of wine. If it's, like, an event, I'll bring, like, a card commemorating, like, the event. But here's something that I try not to do. Or here's, like, a rule, I think. If you're going to bring flowers as a host gift, which is always nice, you need to put the flowers in a vase.
Yes.
Because otherwise that is –
More work.
You're creating a host chore. So put the flowers in it. Bring it in a vase already. Or like, hey, do you have a vase? Like, and then get it all set up so that they don't have to do anything.
Do you know what I think also a great move that I saw someone else hosting a party do that I loved? They had disposable Tupperware ready to go at the end of the party for people to take home leftovers.
That's great.
Wow. I think this is like your mileage may vary. Depends on your friends. Mm-hmm. But for us, it was a great move.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's
make them a plate.
Make them a plate, but like, you know, cheap, you get like bulk disposable Tupperware and everyone's just ready to go.
That is a great tip. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for parties. We get 40 minutes for parties and then we have to move on to more serious things. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sanity Corner / I Feel Petty.
In moments like these, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and even easier to feel powerless. But we are neither. I'm Stacey Abrams, and on my podcast, Assembly Required, I take on each executive action, legislative battle, and breaking news moment by asking three questions. What's really happening? What can we do about it? And how do we keep going together? This is a space for clarity, strategy, and hope rooted in action. Not denial. New episodes of Assembly Required drop Tuesdays. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.
Nicole hosts Easter every year. That's why she shops at BJ's Wholesale Club, stocking up on spiral ham, baked goods, fresh flowers, candy, and 5 dozen eggs.
I've got a lot of baskets to fill.
Nicole's not worried because she knows she can save big and get it all done in one trip.
It's like winning the Easter egg hunt.
When you save, everyone wins. Get a $15 digital coupon when you spend $150 in one transaction now through April 5th. Visit BJ's.com/Easter coupon for details. BJ's, your Easter destination.
And welcome back. We've got no announcements for the class yet. We've announced everything that needs to be announced. And so we're going to just get right into Sanity Corner / I Feel Petty. And I will kick it off since none of you assholes are prepared. No, I'm just
kidding. I was.
Everybody else has. Alyssa's
prepared.
Yeah,
I was too.
Dana was the asshole who wasn't
prepared. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. I just wanted to see what would happen if I just threw a bomb. I'm like, ooh, what's going to happen?
We defend ourselves.
Okay, well, lesson learned. Okay, so here's my Sanity Corner / I Feel Petty. I feel petty this week. I feel petty about travel sizes. So, you know, you go into like a store, a drugstore, and there's like a wall of travel sizes, or a Target. There's like a big area with like, oh, yeah, you could, here's a little shampoo, deodorant, whatever. There are some products that you kind of encounter and you realize, oh, the people behind buying these products, making sure, like stocking these shelves, are not people that have children or that even think about. Think about children, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I was just at a Target in Palm Springs, and not to brag, I was just in a Target in Palm Springs, and I was with my sister-in-law. She needed a travel size thing for kids, and they just don't have like kids travel size stuff. So it's like, are you just supposed to not fly with them on an airplane? Like, are you supposed to take the kids' product and put it in a smaller container?
As someone who's not a parent, and I'm so sorry, like, what kids' products do
you need? Like, mouthwash or, like, toothpaste or, like, some things that would be more, like, a detangler. Like kid hair
kid
is
stuff,
just, like,
okay.
Completely, like, a rat's nest if it doesn't have detangler sprayed on it. And so it was just like, oh, you just have to buy regular-sized products when you arrive at your destination and then throw them out before you get on the airplane, unless you can find some kind of like crazy Shangri-La that has all the all these things made in. So I feel like people that are stocking stores should make sure that there are adequate travel sizes for kids, because like kids have to go on airplanes too.
Are they making travel size things for like, are those companies making
them? I believe they exist.
Okay.
But
okay.
Like in order for me to access them, they would need to be put into a store for a
purchase. I feel like you could market like parent to go kits.
Yeah.
And people like parent travel kits, and people would want that.
Yeah. People would. Did we just start a business?
We did just start a
small business.
Yes. Did we just start a
women
small
business? Women in STEM.
Women in STEM.
Yeah. As a small business owner, I think this is a great idea. Okay. And also, if we're a business, then we can, you know, get corporate rights for things.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay. Great. Great, great brainstorming.
We turned
sesh.
Your petty
we did it.
Into a penny.
Oh.
Okay, I'll leave. I'll leave right now. I'm okay. Sorry.
No, you have to do yours. Tien, are you Sanity Corner?
My Sanity Corner. My okay. Sanity Corner is Angel Reese. I have been absolutely loving following her across her like college career. I loved watching her play basketball. She's an incredible athlete and one of the best basketball players out there right now. Set the record for double doubles, and like also in all of that took the time to like, she shouldn't have to, but also had time to like call out racism in like the racist coverage in media. And I'm just like, she's doing it all. She's incredible. She shouldn't have to do that, because she shouldn't. She should be able to.
She's a basketball player.
She should just get to be able to play basketball and not have to be like fielding all this bullshit racist criticism and then step out and say something so composed and so wonderful and so inspiring. I love Angel Reese.
Yeah.
The Bayou Barbie, baby.
She moves, and I say this in with great respect, yes, with the speed of like a man.
I mean,
she's so fast.
She's so fast, so elegant, so graceful. Like playing basketball, it's like beautiful to watch.
I was watching highlights from her throwing passes, and I'm like, that's like a baseball pitch speed. Like she's boom, like, oh my God, she's great. I gotta say, just to tag onto this, the coverage of the trying to make her and Caitlin Clark.
Oh, yes, so awful.
I hate it. No two male players would be pitted against each other like that, despite the fact that both of them are just like, we were competing.
Yes.
They're playing a sport against each other. Yes. That is what their job is.
Exactly. It's a supercharged environment, and it was like mild taunting from both sides.
From both sides.
Men do that all the fucking time, and nobody says a thing. And I find the framing of it to be
so sexist.
Extremely. Yeah.
So insanely sexist.
It's so
and
sexist.
Racist.
Yes. Like, we're not allowed to be cocky. Excuse me. That's like all I have in life is being cocky.
And if I was good at a sport, I would be insufferable.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine if you could do what she does?
Yeah, I would be insufferable. I would be talking about it all the time. I would. She's not talking about it enough.
She should be cockier.
She should be cockier.
Everybody should be cockier. I completely agree. Every woman should be cockier. Alyssa, Sanity Corner or I Feel Petty this week?
Oh, Sanity Corner. You guys,
oh, good.
For the first time in 3 years, 3 years more. Yeah, 3 years. I went to an indoor concert. And you guys, it was heart stopping, earthquaking. It was Bruce Springsteen. And the night before, Rebecca Traister had been to the show at Madison Square Garden. And she was like, oh, my God, we're going to go to Barclays because the show is that good. And so I had been exhausted. I had not been like enjoying myself. And let me tell you something. Watching, it was like it was one of the concert itself, but also just like real bands that iterate as they age. You know, I mean, Bruce Springsteen, Clarence Clemon passes away. Well, Jake Clemens, Clarence's nephew's up on stage, fucking killing it. Bruce Springsteen making jokes about the propitia in his hair. But mostly just to see in a world that is so angry, to see a bunch of people, albeit very white crowd, just like living their best lives and screaming and singing out loud. And it was like real joy. And my best friend since the fourth grade bought me the tickets to surprise me. And revealed the surprise a couple weeks ago. But it was the same night that Pretty Baby dropped on Hulu. She's like, we're going. And her husband, who is one of the best husband ride or dies, was like, listen, you two, I'll just get the drinks. And we're like, oh my God, thank you. So anyway, it was like the most fun. I couldn't, it was like religious. It was like I was at a revival. It was the greatest thing. You know, I'm just online now looking for other concerts to go to because like, it is what it is at this point. You know, I'm
Taylor Swift plays for 3 hours. That's just FYI.
So do you know, I think that Taylor Swift is the modern Bruce Springsteen.
I was about to say.
She is.
We could have this conversation.
She is. She is the songwriter.
You both are really on
poet.
Brand right now.
I love Taylor. But anyway.
I love Taylor.
It was incredible. And years and years ago, I heard this interview that Anthony Mason had done on CBS with members of the Grateful Dead, with Bob Weir and John Mayer. And they were talking about how it's just so important that the music carries on. It's not necessarily the most important who plays the music. And they were talking about it in reference to John Mayer joining the Grateful Dead. And like to just see all these younger people and these new singers and new people that like Bruce Springsteen had brought into the band since the last time I saw him, it just made me feel alive. So that was it. I felt alive. Well,
oh man, that sounds like so much fun.
It was
fun.
A lot of fun.
I want to join the Church of Springsteen. I think that sounds like a lot of fun. okay, Dana.
Okay, I have a combo. Petty sanity.
Okay.
And it's under the umbrella of a trip to Trader Joe's.
Okay.
I think people have forgotten basic cart etiquette, which is rules of the road.
Yes.
You're on the right. You're on the right if you're going, and you're on the left, you know, the other, the right, whichever side you are. And if you are leaving your cart to go find an item, put it in an out of the way spot.
Yep.
Don't clear the way. Just basic cart etiquette. I just think people need a refresher. But the sanity part of this is that Trader Joe's just slices of dried mango are
delicious.
Maybe the best food that's ever been manufactured. I don't understand how they do it. I've had dried mango from other grocery stores. It's the Trader Joe's, not the juicy one. Not the sweet and juicy one. Mm-hmm. Those have sugar. It's just the regular like slices of dried mango. They're so good. I don't understand.
They're like the perfect texture.
The perfect texture. They're like gummies.
Yes,
I eat a whole bag, which you're not supposed to.
Yeah, you're not supposed to.
But you're not supposed to, but
that's
I do.
Like what? Like a million mangoes?
It's like so many mangoes. It's so many mangoes and so much. I like get a sugar rush. But I do because they're so good. And what else? You open the bag and you're like, well, now they're all here.
You're like, it's fruit?
It's fruit. It's mangoes.
It's fruit. I can keep eating it.
So I had 17 mangoes yesterday.
Oh, my God.
And it was worth it. And I feel okay about the world.
Oh, good, good. Let's hope you don't OD on mangoes. You'll be the world's first mango overdose hospitalization.
My parties where people are like going crazy and doing too many crazy drugs is too many dried, eating too much dried mango from Trader Joe's.
Whoa. You're the mango fairy. Just showing up with bags of mangoes.
And you've got like street like slang for it. You're calling it being on the mang. Oh man. Okay, well that's a great note to end the show on. This was so fun. I wish it could go on for longer, but it obviously, you know, cannot. We've got lives. We got to go places. We got to go to Trader Joe's.
We're all dressed.
We got to go out into the world and be like, "I'm
crash
ready."
A party.
Yeah, show up at a party. Empty-handed or with flowers with no vase in sight and demand to learn about white privilege from the attendees. Tien and Dana, thank you so much for stopping by. Alyssa, thank you for being my ride or die. This was a really fun day, really fun week of news. Listeners, thanks for sticking with us this week and every week. There will be more Hysteria for you next week.
Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Rustin is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer, and Fiona Pastana is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor.
Thank you to our digital team, Nara Melkonian, Mia Kelman, Milo Kim, and Matt DeGroot.
In moments like these, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and even easier to feel powerless. But we are neither. I'm Stacey Abrams, and on my podcast, Assembly Required, I take on each executive action, legislative battle, and breaking news moment by asking three questions. What's really happening? What can we do about it? and how do we keep going together? This is a space for clarity, strategy, and hope rooted in action, not denial. New episodes of Assembly Required drop Tuesdays. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.